Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Turning Towards Life. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we are here. I'm actually rather giddy with excitement. I have happened to say this. I think I might giggle my way through this. It's our 400th episode, and we are feeling, I am, I know you are because you've told me, feeling so joyful, Lizzie, that we have continued this conversation for 400 weeks, barely with any interruption. And here we are, 400 weeks, 7¾ years into this long conversation, we're here again. And we are having a celebratory episode. And one of the things that is very exciting for me is that we are on Zoom this week. We've not been using Zoom for this for a while, and we're on Zoom because we have invited and have been joined by a wonderful and lovely and warm and wise group of people who listen to Turning Towards Life, who are part of this conversation by it coming in everyone's ears while you're walking or walking the dog or doing the dishes or sleeping or maybe just listening to this. There are a group of you with us, and I'm addressing all of you to say how glad I am that we are surrounded by friends. And Lizzie, we've just spent half an hour or so meeting everybody and hearing what this is for people, which has been really moving to me to know that this conversation, which does is so much for each of us, also is that for other people too. And we know that there are many people who, for various reasons, didn't come today, didn't want to come, couldn't come. And each person who's spoken today has really impacted me. So I'm arriving here, giddy with joy, very tender, grateful, and also marveling at what it is to stay in a practice for this long and for it to become what it's becoming. So hello to you, and hello to everyone who's watching or listening.
Thank you, Justin. And for me too, thank you for the ones of you who've come to join us to celebrate this 400th episode. It's very bonkers and wonderful. And it's so sweet to hear from each of you and to feel the connection and feel, I feel very, what's the word? I don't know, I feel kind of humbled or something to be part of people's lives, Justin, in the way that it sounds like we are from the people who've just spoken to us about what turning towards life means in their lives. So I'm really grateful for that, and I want to reciprocate the those feelings as well. So as usual, Justin, I'm going to read. This is a piece of your writing called Numbered by none other than Justin Wise. And then as usual, you'll read back to me. And just so that everybody knows who's listening as well, what we're going to do next is, after we've kind of laid down this recording, everybody who's joined us is going to have a go with another source to do their own turning towards life practice. So I'm really excited for that as well. So this is called Numbered, and it's by Justin, and we're going to read to each other like we normally do and see where we end up. So here we go. Maybe if you are listening, take a breath. Big deep breath. Maybe breathe yourself a little bit wider and bigger and deeper so that you can really receive this really brilliant piece of writing from Justin and all of its wisdom. Sometimes I remember that my days are numbered. My days for working are numbered. My days for seeing a cloudless sky are numbered. My days are numbered for sitting beneath tall trees, and my days are numbered for learning. My days for holding the ones I love are numbered. All my days of kisses, my days of anguish, fear, and longing, they too are numbered, and my days of walking the crests of high hills. My days of deep conversation with friends and colleagues are numbered, and the days on which I can make a dent on the world. My days for inventing, creating, demolishing, undoing, subverting, contributing. My days for mending and tearing apart. My days of confusion, my days of spreadsheets, keyboards, pens, paper clips. My days for traveling by train, bus, boat, plane. My days for reading, music, turning my face towards the stars and washing the dishes. My days of getting to know myself, my days for understanding what life is. My days for loving, my days for doing, for knowing, all of these too. I don't think I can remember this all the time. I'm too forgetful for that, too easily absorbed in the work of the day. But when I do remember, life shines with new depth and wonder. And I find it much more straightforward to do what I am here to do.
Thank you, Lizzie. That's quite something to hear you read that back, which I wanted to say before I read. And also to say that this is the source that we used for episode one of Turning Towards Life in 2017, I think. So I'm getting very curious about going back and listening to us then, hearing what we had to say. So I wrote this one afternoon sitting in a place called Finsbury Square in central London, having just had what I knew was the last conversation with a dear friend of ours, Pamela, who was dying, and she had given me, I think we'd spoken for a couple of hours the night before, and I realized I had to put something in word, and I want to dedicate this to Pamela as well, so I read it. It's called Numbered. Sometimes I remember that my days are numbered. My days for working are numbered. My days for seeing a cloudless sky are numbered. My days are numbered for sitting beneath tall trees. And my days are numbered for learning. My days for holding the ones I love are numbered, as are my days of kisses. My days of anguish, fear, and longing, they too are numbered. And my days of walking the crests of high hills. My days of deep conversation with friends and colleagues are numbered. And the days on which I can make a dent in the world. My days for inventing, creating, demolishing, undoing, subverting, contributing. My days for mending and tearing apart. My days of confusion. My days of spreadsheets, keyboards, pens, paperclips. My days for traveling by train, bus, boat, plane. My days for reading, music, turning my face towards the stars, and washing the dishes. My days of getting to know myself. My days for understanding what life is. My days for loving. My days for knowing, all of these too. I don't think I can remember this all the time. I'm too forgetful for that, too easily absorbed in the work of the day. But when I do remember, life shines with new depth and wonder, and I find it much more straightforward to do what I am here to do. Lizzie, just before we go on, I think it might help if you put your microphone just up a tiny bit. It's a bit low.
Yes.
A bit quiet. Yeah, thanks.
It's very moving, Justin, hearing you read that and just feeling the feelings of it. Feeling the, like, the ungivenness, the nature of, it's like getting close into the nature of life being that it's passing all the time. Someone said to me the other day that they were having this big conversation about when you cut a flower off from the garden and put it in a vase inside, is it dead already? Because you cut it off from its life force. And then they were musing on how it's somewhere in between. But then, of course, how is everything not in between life and death all the time? I really do not know what the point at which life begins. But it looks like we kind of know when life ends somehow, because that's more easy to know when someone's body isn't the vessel through which their life is held any longer, when someone dies. But that really, right now, we are somewhere in between life and death. And to feel that and to know that and to have, I want to name Pamela too, to have Pamela's legacy here of everything that she did and everything that she left in our hearts and all the ways she taught us and led. And her particular life force in an embodied form isn't here anymore doing that. And so the time we all have has a limit on it to be inside these bodies and to be able to take the action that we want to take and have the conversations we want to have and cuddle the way we want to cuddle and how much we want to cuddle and do all the things that feel like ours. And I'm really taken, Justin, by the last line of this, where if we can let this in, instead of being the terrifying thing that I think I probably have held it back as for so many years, like, well, I'm never going to think about that. Why would anybody think about death? We've got to live. But that life is liberated when we let that in is so, it does feel like this. It feels like things become much more straightforward, almost like I've told myself the truth rather than run around pretending or something that this thing isn't inevitable and it's not just true that our days are numbered. So I think in my system, there's a really, it's a challenging thing, but it's a relieving thing that you're telling me the truth about something and you're not shying away. I mean, there might be parts of you that shy away from it every day, but in this piece of writing, it doesn't feel shy from the facts of things. And so to tell the truth feels like it does enable this kind of a straightforwardness, but also something to shine through that wasn't shining through whilst I was denying that it was even ever going to happen, that I might not ever be here, or that I might not have all the time in the world. Well, I do not have all the time in the world. And all the while I'm in denial, I can take advantage of that. I can take things for granted. I can noodle around and not really feel the heart of my longings and not feel that kind of quickening kind of urgency to make decisions that align with what I feel like I'm here for, or to feel and admit that I find a shard of my purpose coming through or something. It's so much easier to ignore that if I'm asleep to the fact of numberedness. But while I'm awake to the fact of numberedness, I have to go, oh, well, I might not see that again. So I think I need to let that in now. And then it becomes easier to say yes to the things that feel life-giving to me.
Taken by what you're saying about truth, Lizzie. I spent such a large part of my life doing my best to push down things that were true inside me because they were so uncomfortable, and sort of with a strategy that if I amount as enough energetic force to push it away, then it won't be real. Mm. And that lots of times, and I know the feeling of it. And I more and more, I think that our bodies are made for truth and truthfulness, that we can feel it when we're doing that. If we pay a bit of attention, we can often feel when we're turning away from something that's real. And there's actually enormous relief. My experience is there might be fear and sorrow, often actually more sorrow these days, got all there is to lose and the brevity of everything. And my experience is it's possible to be so much closer to life by telling the truth about this. And I want to be close into my life more and more. Didn't always. That was very frightening, but I do now. I really do. And one of the things I was thinking about as we were reading was one response to seeing how short, how brief all of this is, could be to try and cram it all in. Well, because my days are numbered, I better cram everything in. And it's not that there's no truth in that. Like, there might be things that are important to get to that are really important to get to, as different from cramming it all in. And I'm more recently finding out that there are things I long to do and places I long to go. And I'm aware that there are places I long to go to that I'm pretty certain I'll never go to, many of them. And I might once have held that as a kind of desperation. And I can think of the consequences of those times I've got desperate. And I can think of like micro examples of where I got desperate and rushed to do something and it stopped me from being really here for something else.
Mm.
And then finding out more and more that actually recognizing that time is finite, what it calls me much more to do is to pay attention to what's here and to say, this experience, this something that's happening here where I am, this is where to pay my attention, because this will go, like all of it will go. And somebody else is going to experience something else, and that's fine. I don't need to. Like, we'll take care of it between all of us somehow. Somebody else will go to, you know, one of the places on my list, or that I no longer, it no longer seems to me that the response to the truth of the limits of our time with these bodies and in the midst of the web of relationships that we're in is to try and grab it all.
Mm.
In fact, more and more as I tell the truth about it, what I want to do is to invest being here with being present with what's here. And at the same time, of course, get up to the things that matter that I care about, contribute where I can. So I'm not making an argument. I'm not making like a binary argument. Well, that means just, you know, sit on the floor and don't do anything. And actually, I'm reflective about this conversation. The nature of this conversation as we're marking 400 weeks is that I think part of this practice is the practice of being present right here in whatever conversation is here. Like, we could have a list of all the things we think we want to cover and like make sure we cover them. But by not doing that, I have no idea what you're going to say next, and I have no idea what I'll say after that. And by not doing that, we allow what we're, I think we're committing ourselves to is allowing life to show up right here.
Mm.
And that is the precious gift of being alive, is to be ones where places where life can show up in some way. That's what I want to do. That's what these words, which I wrote years ago now, as they come back to me, that's what they call me towards.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really struck by this kind of, I've only got so much time, I better stick loads of stuff into it, or get loads of stuff, or acquire stuff, or visit places, or do things, or something. And I can kind of, I understand that. And I think when you said that, what arose in me was this question of, I don't know, maybe fullness or something. And realizing that I really don't need to go somewhere and achieve a thing or tick something off my list. Like when I really look at it, I'm not sure that makes me feel full of life. You know, like, doesn't necessarily have me feel aliveness. And, you know, I've got a tricky personality to deal with in a way, because I love anticipation, like way more than the thing itself. So I I'm learning to receive actually the gifts of anticipation too, like to not be let down by it, but just to receive it energetically as it is. Like, I'm anticipatory right now. Let this be part of what I accept is the thing. Like, if I think of meeting you, Justin, and I'm anticipating it, I'm really learning to accept the anticipatory part of meeting you as part of meeting you, rather than just new meeting as being the only experience that counts in my life, kind of thing. So I'm learning to do that. But the anticipatoriness is also tricky, because it's making a suggestion that when I do see you, I will feel like my life is complete. And I'll feel lots of things through seeing you, but it's probably not going to complete my life if I'm really honest with myself. It will be interesting and fun and all the things, but the kind of, the kind of value I place on that to complete me or something. So to tick that thing off the list as if it's going to make everything feel better. That kind of illusion, maybe, like that kind of thing has just become it's had to let me down a lot of times. And so I think my relationship to feeling impermanence, like we're talking about here, and the numberedness of life, it doesn't feel separate to me from being in the conversation about the mistakes I make as to what my life, like what a good life is going to feel like to me. And so where I've chased things and I thought that they were going to make me feel complete and they didn't. And then the grief of that, in a way, the grief has taught me that that thing was never going to do that in the first place. You've got to look somewhere different than trying to fill your bucket up or something, or tick things off your list, or go to all the places in the world or whatever. And then that's quite confronting, because it's like, well, what am I going to do with myself then? Like, if there's a way to feel alive and vibrant and filled with life, and it's not got to do with going out there and getting things and going places and seeing people and whatever. I mean, it might be as well, like you're saying. But then what are my criteria for feeling like I'm using my days in a way that has my life be the life that I long for? And that's not a straightforward question to answer. It feels to me these days like I'm, the fact that I'm asking the question really helps. Not that I've like loads of answers stream in, but the fact that I'm even asking it and wondering. So my days are numbered. I'm letting that truth sit with me. How does that question being here show me what my next action or decision or encounter or relationship or whatever, what do I want those qualities to be? So I'm feeling like there's a kind of qualitativeness that arises rather than a kind of acquisition strategy or something. And in that, I can see what I want to cultivate, and I can try and align my decision-making and my choices with of how to be in the world and what to do with myself, along with the qualities that I long for, like intimacy and laughter and domestic snuggle time, you know, things like that seem to be really important to me these days. And I can remember my life as I need to go here, I need to go there, I need to do this, and that's what's going to make everything feel right. And that feels very stripped back because of this question being really central in my life, I think.
Really musing on something that your thread of thought has brought me close to, been following it as you've been speaking. And it's something like this. It was really, really began in me as you were talking about your relationship to anticipation. So I think what I'm learning in this conversation afresh is that the place to look when we know our days are numbered, when we really feel it, is in this question about what kind of person do I want to be? What kind of qualities of presence do I want to bring to this life? The place to look isn't how much did I do or how much did I not do. So the story of I have to do it all, or the counter story of I better do nothing, they're both actually in the wrong place. They're actually not even the right scale of question at all, because we may live a life of traveling many places, working hard to bring about achievements of various kinds, some of which may touch the world widely and some of which may be very close in, or we might not. And I don't think it's the right question. A better question is, what kind of attention and participation do I want to bring to my life? What's the nature of that way of being in the dance of living and being with others do I want to be? And that allows for, because I was already correcting myself and I was thinking, well, there are all these places I don't want, I'll never go. There are some places I really want to go to. Like, you'll know, I've set my sights on walking the Southwest Coast Path and it's got interrupted at the moment and I'd really love to do it. It's really calling me. So I don't want to, in the same way that you are honoring and finding a deeper form of anticipation that can be life-giving rather than have anticipation be a way of escaping from the experience of living itself. I want to honor longing and desire and wishing as well as staying and being present, all as very honorable, meaningful things. And that's not the question. It's much more something like, Am I actually prepared for the risk, for the grief of everything that I know I will lose if I am present in my life, if I'm prepared to actually be here? Am I prepared to bear the cost of it? Like, am I prepared to say yes to life, whatever it is, to say yes to it and take the cost? Then whatever it is I'm doing, and there are so many different ways of structuring a life, whatever it is, I think I'm closer to asking the right question then. And all of our scrabbling around or just, you know, sitting on the floor doing nothing, if they're avoidant, they're both basically equivalent to one another. And and that means also paying attention to what's in me, you know, like, can I bear meeting what's in me, like my longing or my disappointment or my anticipation? And can I bear meeting the people I love, really investing in this conversation with you, letting myself be in it, being with my once little ones and now big ones? And that feels much more like the scale of question that the words that we read ask of us.
Well, I'm feeling very thrown, as I always am, into, oh goodness, like there's a kind of an awakening feeling, you know, like a opening my eyes to things that I've felt, I don't know, sleep doesn't feel like the right way of saying it, but that I've been ignoring, because of course it's always been true, but it's so easy, like, you know, you said it really kindly, when I do remember, and I'm too forgetful to remember this all the time, and maybe it is forgetfulness, but I'm feeling something different than forgetfulness in this conversation, and really grateful for the feeling of, doesn't feel like awakening, because it's not like bing, it's much gentler than that. It's like my body and my heart is kind of, I don't know, in some way made a little more serious or something. Like, I'm, oh, that's a serious thing to just have a numberedness here. Let me feel that kind of sobriety, if you know what I mean. That that's kind of sobering. It's kind of bringing me to a place of consideration and reflection. And I really appreciate that. And thank you, Justin, for writing this way. Thank you for being affected by Pamela in the way that you were, that you wrote this on that day when you'd had that talk with her. And thank you, everybody, for being in this wandering with us. And our hope, as always, is that you have this with you in your heart, and that it's in some way supportive of maybe conversations that are already being had in your system, in your life. But maybe it's also a little bit of an unusual conversation to be having for us all as well. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for being here for our 400th episode. Thank you for going back right to the beginning with us again for our first source we ever did together. I can't even remember that, Justin. I really want to listen as well to see what on earth we said. Maybe we said exactly the same. That'd be hilarious, wouldn't it? But we probably didn't. So thank you all for being with us. Thank you, Justin. And we will see you next week for episode 401.
And I want to say, because we're about to return to them all, a very special thank you to the group of people who turned up to be around us, to be audience live with us for this 400th episode. We're, as you'll know, Lizzie, we're heading towards a whole live endeavor, a program of conversation that's going to start in September. So we'll keep on talking about that, and we'll tell you more about that as it develops.
Yeah.
And we're going to end here, and we'll be back next week.